We find the word image more than 60 times in the Bible, but all but about a dozen of those times refer exclusively to the idols, graven images, the representations of false gods that people sometimes crafted for themselves in order that they might have some kind of physical representation of what they were wanting to worship. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to know that idolatry was a tremendous recurring problem all throughout the days of the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. And we find God warning His people against the sin of idolatry over and over and over again. The first and second of the Ten Commandments specifically address the matter of putting God first and never giving His place to something like a graven image. You may remember that both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah in the Old Testament were both carried away into slavery and exile due primarily to the sin of idolatry. But our discussion this morning is going to try to focus on the other way that the word image is used in Scripture. We're first introduced to the term early in the Bible, in fact, in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, where in verses 26 and 27, we find God saying, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Then it goes on to say, "And God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." In the New Testament, we find the word used in a very similar way. In fact, the word is used in such a way that is to convey the idea that was presented in that first song that we sang just a few minutes ago. We sang those words together. I want to be more like Jesus and follow Him day by day. I want to be true and faithful and every command obey. I want to be kind and gentle to those that are in distress, to comfort the brokenhearted with sweet words of tenderness. I want to be meek and lowly like Jesus, our friend and King. I want to be strong and earnest and souls to the Savior bring. More and more like Jesus I would ever be. More and more like Jesus, my Savior who died for me. The book of Colossians in chapter 3, after Paul introduces that idea of being risen with Christ, where we seek those things which are above, not setting our affection on things of the earth, but on the things above, because of the fact that we have died and our life is hid with Christ in God. And he mentions several things in the following verses, and he gets down to verse 9, And he says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You know, there are very few things that teach a lesson more effectively than a clear and simple demonstration. And in this case, I think we have one in recorded in the book of Acts, chapters 3 and 4. There in Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John preaching and teaching in a public place. And as chapter 4 opens up, they are approached by the rulers of the Jews. And as we read through that chapter, we find Peter and John standing before the rulers and the elders of the people to give an explanation for why they have been preaching the gospel. Listen to Peter's reply to that question. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by his name this man stands here before you in good health. He, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. I can only hope and pray that I would have the boldness and the courage in a similar situation to give that kind of unwavering reply. Now, notice in verse 13 the council's reaction. Now, as they observe the confidence or boldness of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. They recognized them as having been with Jesus. In other words, Jesus had rubbed off on these guys. They were living like Jesus lived. They were teaching like Jesus would teach. They were giving the answers that Jesus would give. They had been with Jesus, and it was obvious. What about us this morning? Is it obvious that we have been with Jesus? Our lesson text this morning comes from that passage that Brian read to us a few minutes ago from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. But we all are being transformed into the same image. Perhaps we need to answer the question, What image am I being transformed into? What image do I bear? When people look at me, what do they see? What is the image that I am presenting? Heard about a fellow who had been away on a long business trip, and he thought it would be a nice touch to bring his wife back a little gift. And so he goes to the one of those big fancy gift shops in the airport, and he goes up to the clerk and at the cosmetics counter. He says, "How about some perfume?" So she showed him a little tiny bottle, and the price tag on it was $90. He says, That's a bit much. And so she took that bottle back, and she came back with a smaller bottle. And she said, "Well, here we've got this one for $60. He said, "Well, you know, that's still a little more than I had in mind. Have you got something a little less than that?" And so she's getting a little bit annoyed at this time. And so she brings him back what seems to be an impossibly small bottle. It's hard to believe it's even got anything in it. And she says, "This one is $29. And he says, "You know, what I mean is, I'd like to see something really cheap." So she reached under the counter and hands him a mirror. That was not me now. In the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, which talks about looking at our reflection, looking at ourselves, and seeing Jesus and becoming more and more like Him. In this context, Paul recalls to mind the fact that Moses, upon returning back to the people from the mount where he had received the law, had to place a veil over his face because the Israelites couldn't stand to look at his face due to the glory of it and the fact that he had been with the Lord. And that, of course, illustrated and was used to illustrate the idea that the Israelites so often had their minds veiled, and even the Jews of Paul's day, as he writes this to the Roman Christians, makes reference to minds being veiled or not able to see the real truth, unable to understand and obey God's law because of all of the other things that are getting in the way. Today, in the Christian dispensation, under the new covenant, Paul says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." When you look in the mirror, what you should see is the glory of the Lord that's being reflected by you. It's not unusual that God has expected us to look at ourselves from time to time, to draw a conclusion and to make an evaluation of what we are. We're to be humble and we're to always give preference to others, but there is definitely an aspect in which God demands that we look at our own selves. And Paul says here, when you look into God's Word and when you look at yourself, you should see the reflection of Jesus. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I believe that phrase, "from glory to glory," among other things, may indicate that it's something that takes place all along, a little bit at a time. An ongoing process. Seeing a reflection of Jesus. The bottom line of all of this is that we eventually become what we behold. And that helps to explain why a lot of people are representing some images of some very uncomplimentary things in their lives, because those things have become their focus. So this morning, I want us to consider the matter, first of all, that I must, and as we sang a few minutes ago, I want to be more and more like Jesus. And the fact is, the Bible gives us no other alternative. This is not something that we can opt out of. This isn't something that we can say, I'll skip my part if you don't mind. There's no other option. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in His steps." In Romans 8, in verse 29, Paul says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." And John reminds us in 1 John 2, verse 6, "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." In other words, if we claim to be the Lord's, then the way that we live, the way that we walk, should reflect the idea that we belong to the Lord. We must be more and more like Jesus in boldness and courage. In Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus approaching the synagogue at Nazareth where He'd grown up. The Lord, being God Himself, omniscient, being able to understand and see and know all, could look forward and see that before this gathering was over, this group of people were going to try to drag Him out to the edge of town and stone Him or throw Him over a cliff. And yet Jesus went through with it. We must be bold. We must be willing to take whatever steps God tells us we must take. But if boldness is all we have, boldness can be degrading. Some people blunder through life, tromping all over whatever and whoever gets in the way. That's not the boldness of Jesus. Boldness is the courage to tell the truth and to live the truth and to demonstrate the truth. Not just ram the truth down somebody's throat, but to show them what it's all about. And even in our boldness, we must be more like Jesus in love. He took little children on His knee and blessed them. He paid His respects to a widow who had just lost her only son. And then He raised that son from the dead. He healed the sick, the lame, and the blind. He lived for others. He didn't live for Himself. Then He went to the cross and He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We must speak kindly, act kindly, do kindly in order to be more like Jesus. We must be more like Jesus in humility. The humility of Jesus teaches us some really hard lessons, like the lesson that He taught Peter and the rest of the apostles in John 13 when He laid aside His outer garments and took the tools of a servant and washed His disciples' feet. Though Jesus was not a doormat upon which men wiped their feet, at the same time He was continually humble. We need to be more like Jesus in faith. There was no doubt in the mind of Jesus. Yet at his first step that he took on this earth, he had to know that it was the first step toward Calvary's cross. And he had no doubt that the Father's will was perfect. And the plan to become the sacrificial lamb for the sins of mankind was a plan he believed in. Because of his faith, we need to be more like Jesus in faith. We could go on and construct a long list of the characteristics of Jesus and the need to imitate him. We could talk about his holiness. We could talk about his zeal. We could talk about his submissiveness to the Father. He was patient, and unless we learn to endure, we're going to fail. He was forgiving. We will never be as forgiving as Jesus was, but we must be forgiving in all ways, and by all means, we must live so that those around us will say, he's been with Jesus. When should we be more and more like Jesus? You know, I believe there is an idea among some, many who even claim to be God's people, that Sunday is the day that you have to be more like Jesus. To those folks who think that way, all the other days of the week are for acting and being as we please, just as long as you put on Jesus on the first day of the week. I heard about a fellow who one time told his preacher, you know, I don't like for folks to come to my house and try to steer the conversation around a religion. I think we ought to have religion on Sunday when we go to meeting, but not at home in the living room. How about that? You know, you could just as easily argue that we should only receive God's blessings on Sunday and not any other day of the week. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want that plan. When should a Christian be like Jesus? Or to put it another way, is there a time when the Lord's soldier should be able to unbuckle his armor and lay it aside and be like everybody else? Well, let's just think about it. We need to be like Jesus in public. Most of us live in some sort of publicity. And don't misunderstand that word. Publicity can be as big as you want it, but we all have publicity in our lives. Unless you've figured out somewhere to go to Walmart where you can be invisible, or, you know, you're the only one there, you got publicity, like it or not. We work and play and go to school and shop before the eyes of our fellow men every day. We're watched. Our words are listened to. Our lives are examined, and sometimes it seems like we are practically pulled to pieces. The sharp eyes of worldly critics are always upon us. We must live the life of Christ in public. We need to be like Jesus in the assembly. The Spirit of Jesus needs to be evident in our attitudes, in our worship assemblies. In fact, our attitude toward the very opportunity of coming together to the assembly needs to be the attitude of Jesus. Our attitude toward our Heavenly Father, whom we come together to worship, our attitudes toward one another in this worship service need to be an imitation of Jesus. We need to be more and more like Jesus in our homes. The true picture of who we are is sometimes best seen inside the house. You know what I'm saying. A Christ-like home is a great proof of our spirituality. Those outside the home may see a different picture of us, but it's those of our household who see us for what we really are. One fellow said many years ago, "I will not believe a man to be a true Christian if his wife, his children, the servants, and maybe even the dog and cat are not better for it." That's interesting, isn't it? Everybody in the house ought to be better because we're like Jesus. And of course we need to be more and more like Jesus in secret. The true measure of a man's character is seen with what he would do if he knew that no one would ever, ever possibly find out about it. Ever heard that before? It's really true, isn't it? What would you do if nobody would ever know? In those times when no eye sees us but God's eyes, when the darkness covers us, when we're separated from all people, we must be more and more like Jesus. We need to take care that our secret life is lived so that we will not be ashamed when the books are opened in that last great day. Tonight we're going to continue to discuss this subject, and we'll tackle a couple more questions. Why should we be more and more like Jesus? And then how can we be more and more like Jesus? I hope that I should not have to ask you to give some serious thought to the idea of being more and more like Jesus. We've already sung about it. Have we made an empty boast? I want to be more like Jesus. That's what we said. Is it true? Is it being lived? Is that what people see when they look at you and at me? You know, in order to be more like Jesus, the first step is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become one of God's children. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Him, and being buried with Him in baptism, which washes away our sins to rise and walk in newness of life. But once having done that, it is true that sometimes people get sidetracked and some have turned aside and diverted their lives away from being more and more like Jesus. And when people look at them, they don't see Jesus in them. And if that describes you, why not come back? Rededicate your life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has extended His invitation to all. If you need to respond to that invitation this morning, we invite you to do so as we now stand together and sing.